From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Michael Krasny. San Francisco's Public Works Director Mohammed Nuru was arrested Monday for federal fraud charges stemming from alleged bribery and kickback schemes. KQED's Marisa Lagos and Scott Schaefer will both join us to talk about the 75-page complaint and what the scandal might mean for City Hall. Then at 9:30, this week the Supreme Court voted to uphold a Trump administration policy that will limit immigration for those deemed likely to use public benefits. We'll take a look at that and the impact of Trump's immigration policies over the last 3 years. Join us after this news. Welcome to this morning's forum. I'm Michael Krasny. San Francisco Public Works Director Mohammed Nuru was arrested Monday by the FBI and charged with public corruption along with Nick Bovis, the owner of Lefty O'Doul's baseball-themed bar and restaurant. The investigation found that Nuru and Nick Bovis allegedly engaged in schemes to improperly win city contracts and bribe officials. The charges called to question how Nuru, who had been accused of ethics violations and incompetence for years, used his connections to four mayors to remain on the city's payroll and rise to a top post. Joining us now to talk about the arrest and what it means for City Hall are KQED's Marisa Lagos and Scott Schaefer. I'll say good morning to you first, Marisa, because you're on phone. Hi.
Hey, Michael. Thanks for having me.
Glad to have you. And Scott's here in studio. And good morning, Scott.
Hey, Michael.
This is really the biggest scandal we've seen here in San Francisco since Shrimp Boy and Leland Yee, and one has to really just unpack what all these charges are. I mean, there's corruption, there's bribery. Talk about what's really coming down the pike here.
Well, the U.S. attorney, Dave Anderson, described it as a web of corruption in this affidavit, which was the complaint was unsealed yesterday. He talks about five different schemes, he called them, one involving SFO, another involving the Transbay Terminal, another involving homeless programs and public restrooms, one involving a personal home that Mohammed Nuru has up in Colusa County. The allegation there is that he used city paid workers to work on a renovation of his home up there and was given a John Deere tractor, gifts from a Chinese billionaire developer, almost a $2,100 bottle of wine that he didn't disclose as he's supposed to. So there's a wide range of things, but I think the real focus is this allegation that there was an attempt to bribe an SFO airport commissioner, a $5,000 bribe attempt in order to get a lease, a restaurant lease for a friend of Nick Bovis, who you mentioned. The commissioner pushed that money back. The bribe did not happen, but there was an attempt to do that. And the other thing that the FBI is focusing on is the fact that Mohammed Nuru was arrested some 10 days ago, and he was let go with the promise that he wouldn't reveal the investigation, wouldn't talk about it. And apparently he did that, which is why he was rearrested along with Bovis earlier this week. To me, that raises the question, why did he lie?
Why the disclosures? Yeah.
Why the disclosures? And was he trying to protect somebody by telling them about this investigation?
Well, it gets deep, and it gets deep in other ways when we look back at the past. And Marisa, I want to go to you on this. There were some skeletons rattling in his closet all along here. I mean, particularly with respects to ethics and actually getting the San Francisco League of Urban Gardeners involved in a political purpose to keep Gavin Newsom in office, presumably, or to make sure that he was in office. A lot of street cleaning was avoided for a while. Let's talk about that. I mean, because Dennis Herrera, for example, slammed Ed Lee when he was mayor for even appointing Nuru to this position. Yeah.
Before we get to that, Michael, I just want to say I think it's really likely that we could see more arrests in this case. I think just before we go back, looking forward, I heard from multiple sources that Walter Wong, a development expediter, that two of his offices were raided yesterday by the FBI. Dave Anderson, the U.S. attorney, encouraged other people who might be involved in these, what he refers to, schemes, to come forward. My sources tell me that Wong had connections to the Chinese billionaire developer that is mentioned in the 75-page indictment, which, as Scott said, isn't the sort of crux of these charges. It's really this airport lease, but the kind of supporting other quote-unquote schemes that the FBI and feds are alleging include one around a developer who was trying to build a multi-million-dollar mixed-use project here. And so I think it's entirely possible that there could be other people, whether they be in City Hall or outside, that are implicated going forward. And it does seem that perhaps the federal, you know, government wasn't quite ready to arrest Bovis on Monday, but felt like they had to when they brought Nuru back into custody because he apparently was talking about this, whether it was to Nick Bovis or to somebody else. We don't know.
Excuse me, Marisa, I also want to mention just for the record that Nick Bovis also, I was talking about skeletons and ethical mainly in the closet of Mohamed Nuru, but Nick Bovis also actually did time for an armed robbery. And I mean, there are questions here that really get into and penetrate kind of incestuousness in terms of what was going on with respect to city politics and who was getting whose back patted on.
Yeah, I mean, I think that that is some of the sort of rumors that have surrounded Mohamed Nuru really over his 20 years in City Hall. You mentioned Slug, that nonprofit that really tried to take young men of color in particular from like the Bayview neighborhood and train them up and get them into college. Nuru did come over to the city from that nonprofit, and there was always allegations that he had kind of given them sweetheart contracts and deals. There was allegations when now Governor Newsom first ran for mayor and won in 2004 that Nuru had essentially told Slug contractors that they needed to go out and campaign on Newsom's behalf or they could lose their city contract. And there have been other kind of rumors and allegations. So I do think that it does raise questions about why four mayors, you know, Willie Brown, Gavin Newsom, Ed Lee, now Mayor Breed, have kept this guy in charge of DPW. Scott and I both have heard that this investigation may have been sparked by sort of a whistleblower complaint from inside DPW that staff there was unhappy with what they saw as this pay-to-play sort of culture. And so I think that, you know, I think that there are going to be some really tough questions moving forward. And let's not forget, I mean, this unnamed airport commissioner, we haven't heard from her yet. We know it's a woman. There's only two women on that airport commission. And I think that, you know, there's going to be questions about what conversations occurred between that public official and these men, because even though she did not take the money, according to the FBI, they repeatedly say in the indictment that they believe she did violate the city rules around contract these RFPs, these requests for proposals, by even meeting with Bovis and Nuru and some of these undercover folks who were working on behalf of the FBI to talk about a contract, because those bids are really supposed to happen with a lot of sunlight, you know, between the people deciding on the contract and whoever is bidding on it.
Well, and Michael, I would add that there's a lack of sunlight generally around DPW. It's one of the few big agencies in San Francisco that does not have an independent commission overseeing it. I mean, MTA oversees Muni, the police commission, the fire commission. You go right on down the line. DPW, probably the third largest department in terms of the percentage of the budget, there is none. And what it does is it has allowed people to get around that kind of oversight and to just pick up the phone and, quote unquote, call Mohamed. He'll take care of it.
He was a fixer.
He was a fixer. I mean, his Twitter handle is Mr. Clean SF, but he's really Mr. Fix-It SF. And I think a lot of people in power, including supervisors, like it that way because they don't have to go through some kind of a public process to just get things done for their constituents or for themselves. And I don't mean nefarious things, just like dirty streets and cleaning up the trash and whatever it might be.
That was the next question I was going to ask you. How much of the dirty streets, which would become, you know, national spotlight on, have to do with a Department of Public Works that wasn't getting the jobs done?
Well, clearly, I mean, this is, you know, you go to their website, the very first thing they mention, DPW, is we keep the streets maintained and clean. Well, they're not clean, and they didn't have the money to maintain them. There was a bond measure, I think a $30 million bond measure a few years ago that taxpayers had to fund in order to get the streets paved and maintained, despite their growing budget over the years. So, yeah, this is obviously a focus of public discontent, the state of the streets, quality of life, and there is a lot of responsibility for DPW. Now, they do remove a lot of garbage. They do oversee the taking down of encampments. I'm not saying they're not doing anything, but clearly this is a time when the job the DPW is supposed to be doing is really leaving a lot of voters and people in San Francisco very dissatisfied.
There was an over $400,000 PR campaign based on a study. The study cost over $400,000. It said the streets are sparkling clean, and this is in the light of potholes and in the light of feces and needles and all the other things that have come into the national spotlight. Let me go back just for a moment with you, Marisa, when we're talking about things in the past here. You mentioned whistleblowers. Weren't there whistleblowers who were kind of dispensed with and acted vindictively against a number of years ago? Why wasn't anything done? Why weren't there any consequences about that with Mohamed Nuru?
I think that's a good question. I mean, I think what I was referring to is potentially more recent whistleblower complaints, but we do know that as far back as, almost 20 years ago, when a lot of these allegations came up about first Slug and then a little later the Newsom campaign, that there had been folks who left DPW after complaining about Nuru. To Scott's point, too, about, I got to say, as a citizen of San Francisco, I have found them to be really responsive when you call about illegal dumping and things like that. But I do think that there was a sense that Nuru, back to sort of why he would be able to stay in this position if all of these allegations are indeed true, the Mission Local had a great story a couple of months ago about how he would, without the mayor asking, send out crews to the places where she was going to be holding public events and clean the streets there to make sure they looked good.
I saw that happening before one of her press conferences.
Yeah, it both how unfair, probably normal San Franciscans would feel that is. What about my street? And then B, why a mayor would like to keep someone like that on their side. It's a nice thing, I think, as an executive, if you don't have to tell people what you want.
City, I mentioned earlier, Dennis Herrera, the city attorney, went after Ed Lee when he appointed Nuru to Department of Head Public Works.
You should
point
out that year was a mayoral election, and Herrera was running.
Exactly. Let me do this, because I know a lot of people are going to want to weigh in here, and unfortunately we have to go only up to the half hour. So if you have something you want to say, now would be the time to call, and we do invite your calls and invite your thoughts and any questions you might have for Scott Schaefer and Marisa Lagos, who are both with us trying to sort this out. Scott, again, a senior editor for KQED California Politics and Government Desk and co-host Political Breakdown with Marisa Lagos, who's also in the politics department here at KQED, correspondent for KQED. Let me invite you to join us. I know there are many strong feelings about this, but also many questions. And if you have questions or comments, you can join us now about this these recent arrests. You can give us a call at our toll-free number. It's 866-733-6786. Let me repeat it, 866-733-6786. Or get in touch with us on Twitter and Facebook. We're at KQED Forum, or email any questions to forum@kqed.org. Here's Daniel, says, Nuru had protection from Willie Brown. Muhammad Nuru felt protection from Willie Brown all along. Gavin, Ed, and London are all puppets of Willie. Let's investigate Willie.
Well, that's been done several times over his course of his career, going way back to when he was in the state assembly. And, who knows? There may be an investigation. That may be part of this broader investigation. But I would say, too, that one of the reasons that Nuru has survived so long is that he has been known as somebody who, if you mess with him, and you can just define that any way you want, there's going to be a price to pay. And Marisa alluded to whistleblowers. There were several who blew the whistle, not on Nuru, but on another subordinate of his, and some allegations around his behavior in the office. All those whistleblowers were ultimately, they left, they quit. They felt they were removed from their jobs, resources removed, demoted. So clearly there isn't much incentive for people in the department to complain about things they see and they hear, because there really hasn't been much done to fix some of the problems there.
We have to wonder about those problems, particularly in terms of how they could have been ameliorated or weren't ameliorated. Should Willie Brown be doing a column for the Chronicle? I actually enjoy his column, but there are some questions here, aren't there?
Well, there's a lot of questions. Marisa, as a former employee of the Chronicle, maybe you can weigh in on this, but certainly there are a lot of ethical questions about what he's doing there. They say he's just an opinion columnist, which he certainly has a lot of opinions, but I do think you have to wonder always when you read his column, who is he writing that on behalf of? Is he trying to benefit somebody who perhaps is a client? We just don't know, because he doesn't reveal who his clients are.
So where does this go, Marisa, before I get some callers on here? I mean, Scott mentioned a commission before. We're going to establish a commission. Mayor Breed has talked about moving forward and really, doing something. And what can be done? What should be done?
Well, I think there's going to be a couple of things here, right? First of all, there's the ongoing investigation and the potential for more people to get caught up in it. So we'll have to sort of wait and see what the feds do on that. I do think that there's going to be some, deep conversations at City Hall. We've seen some of the more progressive supervisors, most notably Matt Haney, whose district District 6 includes the Tenderloin and some of the areas of town that have really suffered the most when it comes to dirty streets and quality of life issues. He's really calling for a complete overhaul, saying that there does need to be a commission, and that he feels that this is really the result of the structure of DPW and that it needs to change. And, you know, going back to the Willie Brown question and what other mayors knew, what this mayor knew, I think it's important to mention that multiple repeatedly times in this indictment, Nick Bovis, the restaurateur who was indicted alongside Muhammad Nuru, the DPW head, says to these undercover agents or to people working on behalf of the FBI, that the late mayor, Ed Lee, had promised him that he would get a contract at the airport. No, that could just be Ed Lee saying, yeah, we'll help you out, whatever, you're a mayor, you say a lot of things, but it comes up repeatedly, and it just raised my eyebrows, because I do think that there will be repeated questions, not just about, you know, London Breed and what should she have known or did she know, but also what previous mayors have, and again, that dates back to...
I'll be very blunt. I think we're talking about a fiefdom here, and fiefdoms usually have to come under scrutiny, and we'll get our callers involved, and let me begin with Mercedes from Oakland. Mercedes, you're on the air. Good morning.
Yeah, hi, good morning. I'm calling because I wanted to note that I had a friend who used to work in Nehru's department in San Francisco about 15 years ago, who actually quit and left the profession to go do something else because he was so demoralized by how he was treated, by how others were treated, and by what he saw. So this is not a new issue with this particular guy. And then secondly, I live in Oakland. There are plenty of issues that Oakland, I think, has in common, unfortunately, with this. And we can only look to Deborah Edgerly, who was our city administrator, who was found to be fraudulent in terms of some of her negotiations and activities, was given her pension and then was given another job with the city. So how do those things happen? These really damage the city's abilities to function and thrive, and I feel like the state should have rules about what can and can't happen, and we shouldn't have to wait for the FBI to come in.
Mercedes, I thank you for that call. And Scott, it goes right to the heart of, again, how these things unfold, and it's an abyss that we're in here.
It is, and you know, there have been for years complaints, allegations about, for example, the Department of Building Inspections. I was talking last night to a friend of mine who is a contractor and said it's very common for people who are waiting for inspections, waiting for approval on their permits, to give little something under the table to inspectors, a bottle of Remy Martin or tickets to a 49ers or a Giants game. This kind of thing is, from what I've heard for many, many years, endemic within the Department of Building Inspections. Marisa alluded to Walter Wong, who is one of these expediters who people pay to get things done very quickly at the Department of Building Inspections. There have been indictments around that department in the past, but nothing really seems to change.
He's under investigation by the FBI too, Marisa, but does it connect to what we're seeing unfold here with Nuru?
Absolutely. I mean, from my sources tell me that Walter Wong did work with the Chinese developer who's named in the indictment as having flown Nuru and his daughter to China, given them a $2,000 bottle of wine for help with a project here in town. But I think what Scott's talking about is really interesting, because the truth is, you know, according to what the feds laid out, the airport commissioner didn't take the $5,000. And a lot of what these conversations that they have on tape indicate is not that this is just like a you give me money and I do something for you, but it's part of sort of, I think, what we people in the public would see as the broader corruption of people in power. And I think that this is not unique to San Francisco, which is this idea that people often use their connections to help their friends in ways that, you know, basically make it unfair for those who don't have those connections. And I think that that is something, you know, if you really read between the lines of here, in some ways, you know, the feds kind of helped lay out this whole thing, as they often do in these cases, to get that actual bribe as part of the case. But more broadly, it's just part of this kind of scratch your back, my back, and I'll scratch yours culture that I do not think is unique to this city. I think happens in a lot of places and is something that we should be talking more about.
Well, it's called quid pro quo. We've heard that a lot recently, but it's also that power corrupts, and as the old aphorism has it, absolute power corrupts absolutely. But let's hear from John. John, you're on.
Yes. I'm glad that you guys have raised the point that there is a history behind this guy and that you've known about this history. I just wonder, why didn't the press intervene earlier to do an investigation about this guy, do some good reporting about him? Because I've been a casual consumer of the press for the last 15 years, reading about politics in San Francisco. And my spidey sense went up about this guy years ago. And I'm wondering why it's taken the FBI, it's on the initiative of the FBI to arrest him, and now we're talking about him. We should have been, you know, investigating this guy in his culture of corruption years ago.
Well, that's a fair question, Scott.
Well, in fact, he has been covered. I mean, if you Google it, look in Google News, you'll find many articles about him going back to the time when he was the executive director of SLUG, the Urban Gardening Program, and where he allegedly illegally used or unethically used workers paid with city money to do campaign work on behalf of Willie Brown, and later Gavin Newsom when he was running for mayor. So there have been...
Yeah, but reports. No consequences.
Well, no, yeah, it's not the press's job to, bring somebody to account beyond writing about it. I mean, that the city hasn't done anything, the Board of Supervisors hasn't done anything, mayors haven't done anything, and it's really up to them. And when they don't step in, that's when you see the media and the U.S. attorney or the district attorney, if... Chase Boudin, perhaps, is paying attention. Don't get involved. That's, you know, that is the role of the media, but it's this has not been ignored.
Let me thank the caller and go right to another caller. That's John from Larkspur. John, join us.
Two comments. One is, I heard you say that you're going to create a commission, or that was suggested to create a commission to supervise this department. It seems like every time there's an issue like this of corruption, there's a commission that has to be established, and a whole new layer of bureaucracy is going to now absorb more tax dollars out of the city of San Francisco. And then the other point is that as far as total revenue, if you compare the total revenue collected by the city of San Francisco, which is roughly $9 billion, and do a relationship of the population of this city, there are the hands-down leader, L.A., New York, Miami, Dallas. Nobody's even close to the amount of money collected. So I think there has to be a lot more transparency as to where is that money being spent.
There has to be transparency and accountability, obviously, in this. But, Marisa, let me get a response from you as we come up on the break here.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's important to note a lot of the commissioners are not actually compensated, but that would be staff time if we created a new commission in San Francisco. I would also just say to the earlier caller about why the media didn't look in, I think, you know, we have over the years. I also think that if you read these indictments, it's clear that these are really complicated, not easy to prove accusations. You can know that someone is a friend with someone and that person got the contract, but proving that they got a leg up, there was wiretapping involved here. A lot of this is well beyond the purview of even the best of us in the media. And so I do think that sometimes what you see is the feds come in and, I mean, even to Scott's point, the feds have the FBI, which is dedicated to public corruption. A local district attorney does not have that type of reach. And so I think that these are very complicated investigations that often hinge on things that are a little squishier than, you know, just handing over an envelope with cash. There's a lot more in here than that.
Well, we will continue, obviously, to monitor this story. Let me read one final comment from David, who writes, public works departments in many California cities have no oversight despite control of hundreds of millions of dollars. In San Francisco, took an FBI investigation and result in charges. Why don't we have statewide safeguards? We'll leave it there. Thank you, Scott. Thank you, Marisa. Another segment of Forum is up ahead. Stay tuned for that. We're going to actually explore or have a look at 3 years of Trump immigration policies as the Supreme Court updates the newest public charge rule. Stay tuned. That's up ahead.